Welcome back to the deep dive. I really hope you're sitting down for this one today.
Yeah, you're going to need to.
Because we are stepping into what can honestly only be described as a Silicon earthquake.
That's the perfect term for it.
Right. So it's Thursday, February 25, 2026. And typically, when we talk about this specific date in the tech calendar, we're usually bracing ourselves for wallet damage.
Oh, absolutely. It's usually what we call big GPU season.
You know the drill. Usually the headlines are entirely dominated by these massive power-hungry hardware releases.
Right. We're talking about those 1,200-watt monsters from NVIDIA that are like the size of a cinder block.
And they cost as much as a decent used car.
Exactly.
You practically need a dedicated fuse in your breaker box just to turn your PC on these days.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets really weird. While everyone was looking left, staring at NVIDIA's hardware, Intel, the Blue Army, as our source is calling them today, they executed a maneuver on the right that nobody saw coming.
Nobody. It was a total blindside.
And it wasn't a new chip. It wasn't a new graphics card. It was a software update.
Which is just a classic misdirection. I mean, while the entire industry was obsessed with transistor counts and raw power, Intel just quietly released the new Arc driver.
Featuring XSS3.
Featuring XSS3 multi-frame generation. And honestly, it is a lethal software maneuver.
Lethal is a strong word to use for a driver update. I mean, usually driver updates just fix a bug where, I don't know, the grass looks purple in Call of Duty or something.
Yeah, or your game crashes when you open a menu. But this is entirely different. This isn't about fixing bugs. It's about breaking the established rules.
Oh, so?
Because this update effectively destroys the whole concept of low-end gaming as we know it.
Okay, that is a massive claim. So our mission today is to unpack exactly what happened over the last 24 hours.
There's a lot to cover.
We're going to look at how this code actually works, why it is being interpreted by analysts as a direct attack on NVIDIA's entire business model, and
this is the best part.
It is. How it acts as a literal free hardware upgrade for millions of people.
Just a download away.
I'm talking about people with budget laptops, students. Maybe even you listening right now who just gave up on playing Cyberpunk 2077 because your computer turned it into a slide projector.
It really is a watershed moment in consumer economics. Mm. We have source material today from Tech and Garage, and the way they describe the events of yesterday is just fantastic.
Oh, I love that section. Paint the picture for us. The war room.
Right. So they talk about the atmosphere in their testing war room yesterday morning. Imagine a room full of highly cynical, skeptical tech analysts.
The toughest crowd.
Exactly. And they've got these cheap budget laptops and older graphics cards lined up on the test benches.
Mm-hmm.
They're downloading this Intel driver and the mood is tense. They are fully expecting failure.
Because it sounds too good to be true.
Right. They're expecting glitches, visual artifacts, blue screens of death. They're practically drafting the article in their heads that says, nice try, Intel, but it's a buggy mess.
Right, because usually free performance comes with a terrible, terrible catch.
Always. But then they boot up the games. And the room just goes dead quiet. Because they aren't seeing crashes, they're seeing their frame rates literally double. Tech and Garage called it a miracle of democratization.
Okay, miracle is heavy marketing speak.
Mm.
Let's strip that away and get into the nuts and bolts.
Let's do it.
The core of this is XSS3. Now, we've seen upscaling before. We've had DLSS from NVIDIA. We've had FSR from AMD.
Yes, for a few years now.
I turn those on, my game gets maybe a little blurry, but it runs faster. What makes this one different?
Well, to understand the breakthrough here, you have to look at the history. Previous solutions like DLSS2 or even the original XSS were what we call spatial upscalers.
In English, please.
Think of it like stretching a rubber sheet with a picture on it.
Okay.
The computer renders the game at a small, easy-to-manage resolution, say 1080p. Doesn't have to work very hard to do that.
Right, less pixels to draw.
Exactly. Then the AI algorithm stretches that 1080p image out to a 4K size and tries to clean up the blurriness that happens when you stretch it.
So it's guessing the missing details.
Yes. It helps performance tremendously, but at the end of the day, it's still just working with the original image data you gave it.
Okay, so it's taking a small picture and making it big. But XSS3 is doing something else entirely.
XSS3 is multi-frame generation. It doesn't just stretch pixels. It creates entirely new content out of thin air.
Out of thin air.
Think of a flipbook animation. Normally, your graphics card has to draw every single page of that flipbook.
Page one, page two, page three.
Exactly. And that takes a lot of effort, especially in a modern AAA game.
Right.
XSS3 changes the deal. Your graphics card draws page one, and then it skips ahead and draws page three.
And what happens to page two? Does it just skip it?
The AI hallucinates it.
Wait, hold on. Hallucinates is a really scary word when we're talking about precision technology.
It is.
You're telling me the computer's just making stuff up. It's painting a picture that didn't exist a millisecond ago.
That's exactly what it's doing. The AI looks at page one, and it looks at page three. It analyzes the motion vectors, which is basically the math of where objects on the screen are moving, and it looks at the depth of field.
To see what's in the foreground versus background.
Exactly. And then machine learning interpolates or predicts exactly what page two should look like, and it paints a brand new AI-generated frame from scratch to slot right in the middle.
This sounds like downloading more RAM. It sounds like snake oil. We'll just guess the frames.
It sounds like magic, but it's just really, really advanced math. And the practical result is staggering.
Give me the math on that.
Say your system is struggling. It's bottlenecked at 30 frames per second because your hardware is just too weak to keep up.
A very common problem.
This software takes that 30, inserts a completely AI-generated frame after every real one, and suddenly your eyes are seeing 60 frames per second.
And the key here, the absolute magic trick, is that it's doing this without stressing the main CPU or GPU cores.
Correct. Because the AI engine is handling the generation, it doesn't put extra load on the primary rendering cores. It's almost free performance.
That's insane.
And up until yesterday, this specific kind of high-quality interpolation was a luxury.
A very expensive luxury.
It was reserved for the wealthy elite who bought NVIDIA's top-tier cards.
Which brings us perfectly to the bombshell of this whole deep dive. Because usually, when a massive tech company invents something this cool, they gatekeep it hard.
Oh, without a doubt.
They say, this is amazing. Please buy our brand new $1,000 card if you want to use it.
That is exactly what NVIDIA did with DLSS3.
Right.
They locked frame generation exclusively to the Ada Lovelace architecture, the RTX 4000 series and above.
So if you had older hardware.
Even if you had an RTX 3080, which is still a beast of a card, NVIDIA said, sorry, you can't have frame generation. Buy a 4090.
Which just felt. It felt unnecessary to consumers.
It felt highly strategic, but Intel is in a very different position right now.
They're the underdog in the GPU space.
They are desperate to claw back market share from NVIDIA, so they went full Robin Hood with this update.
I love a good Robin Hood story. Who are they giving the gold to?
Everyone. Literally everyone. This new driver is hardware agnostic. That is the single most disruptive aspect of this entire release.
Hardware agnostic. Meaning it works on anything.
It works on their discrete desktop ARC cards, sure. Even the super budget A380 gets the boost using its hardware XMX cores.
But that's not the crazy part.
No. Crucially, and this is the part that changes the world for the average user, it works on the integrated graphics of the new Core Ultra processors.
Wait, pause. We need to make sure you listening to this get the gravity of that statement.
It's massive.
Integrated graphics. We're talking about the dinky little IGPU chip built into a standard thin, light office laptop.
Exactly.
The kind of laptop you use for Excel spreadsheets and Zoom calls, not for playing heavily modded PC games.
The laptop your boss handed you on your first day of work.
How is that even mathematically possible?
Yeah.
Those integrated chips usually choke if you try to render a 3D screensaver, let alone a AAA game.
This is where Intel's engineering gets brilliant. So NVIDIA uses dedicated hardware cores called Tensor Cores to do their AI magic. Intel has something similar called XMX Cores on their big desktop cards. Think of XMX Cores like a Ferrari engine. It's built specifically to go fast, but it's expensive and it's heavy.
Right. And my thin little office laptop definitely does not have a Ferrari engine in it.
It does not. It has a basic sedan engine. But Intel figured out how to use a specific set of software instructions called DP4A.
DP4A. Sounds like a droid from Star Wars.
It does. But think of DP4A instructions like a software turbocharger kit for that sedan engine.
Okay, I like that analogy.
It's a set of optimizations that allows older or weaker hardware to process these complex AI calculations much, much faster than they normally could.
So it bypasses the need for the physical Ferrari engine.
Exactly. It unlocks potential that was just sitting there dormant on the silicon.
So they basically tuned the sedan to race. Let's apply this to a real person. Let's take the specific example from the source material at Taken Garage.
The college student.
Yes. We've got a student. They have a basic budget laptop, no dedicated graphics card. They bought Cyberpunk 2077. because they watched the anime and thought it was cool.
A tale as old as time.
They try to load it up. What was their experience yesterday morning versus yesterday afternoon?
Yesterday morning, total tragedy. They load up Cyberpunk. The laptop fan immediately sounds like a hairdryer.
Screaming for mercy.
And they're getting maybe 20, 25 frames per second on the lowest possible settings.
Oh, I've been there. You move the mouse and the in-game camera turns a full second later.
It's stuttering.
It's not a video game at that point. It's an interactive PowerPoint presentation.
Exactly. It's totally unplayable. Yeah. So you shut it down, you sigh, and you go back to playing Stardew Valley.
Which is a great game, but not what you paid for.
Right. But then, yesterday afternoon, they download and install this new Intel driver.
Okay.
They turn on XSS3, set it to performance mode. Suddenly, that exact same laptop, without swapping a single piece of physical hardware, is pushing a highly playable 40 to 50 frames per second.
That is just wild to me. It is literally the difference between, I can't play this, and I'm having a great time.
It effectively erases the term low-end gaming from the dictionary. The barrier to entry just collapsed.
You don't need a bulky, quote-unquote, gaming laptop anymore.
You don't.
Now, looking at this from an industry perspective, this feels like a direct targeted shot at NVIDIA. I mean, the sources describe this software update as brutal slap to NVIDIA's monopolistic strategy.
It's not just a slap. It's a declaration of war on their business model. You really have to ask the big question here.
Why didn't NVIDIA do this?
Exactly. There are tens of millions of people right now using RTX 3060s or 2060s. Why didn't NVIDIA offer this frame generation tech to them?
Well, I remember reading NVIDIA's defense when DLSS 3 came out.
What did they say?
They claimed that DLSS 3 absolutely required a specific hardware component. I think it was called the optical flow accelerator, for the frame generation to work without massive latency.
That was the official corporate line. They said, look, guys, we'd love to give this to you, but your old cards just don't have the physical muscle to track the pixels fast enough.
They said only the new 40 and 50 series cards had an optical flow accelerator that was up to the task.
They basically said it's a hardware limitation, not a choice we're making.
Now, Intel is doing it on an office laptop that definitely does not have an optical flow accelerator.
Bingo. Intel and, to some extent, AMD, with their recent FSR 3 updates, have proven that NVIDIA's excuse was, let's call it, highly flexible.
Flexible is a polite way to put it.
They have essentially proven that AI neural networks are now smart enough to completely bypass those physical hardware limitations via software optimization.
So are we saying NVIDIA was bluffing? Did they lie to their customers?
Well, lie is a loaded word. Let's say they technically weren't lying in the sense that having the dedicated hardware makes the process easier.
Sure, the Ferrari engine is still faster.
Right. But was it impossible to do without it? Clearly not. The analysts are viewing this as a called bluff. By artificially locking the tech to the new cards, NVIDIA was likely trying to force those $1,000 upgrades.
They wanted you to feel like your perfectly good 3060 was suddenly obsolete.
So you'd go out and buy a 4060.
And now Intel has just handed out a free software update that breathes life right back into that older hardware.
Overnight.
It makes you wonder how much of hardware obsolescence is actually necessary and how much is just engineered to keep the company's stock price soaring.
That is a very cynical but very valid question to ask today.
Okay, I have to play the skeptic here for a minute.
Go for it.
I have to be the buzzkill. Because when something sounds this universally good, free performance, works on everything, saves you money, there is always a catch.
Always.
We are talking about fake frames here, AI-generated images slotted between real ones. There has to be a downside. What about input lag?
That is the number one concern for any serious gamer.
It has to be.
Think about how the rendering queue works. If the computer is taking extra time to pause and paint a fake frame to show you,
it's not looking at my mouse clicks during that time.
Exactly. The time between you clicking the mouse to shoot and the gun actually firing on screen increases.
Right. It creates that floaty, disconnected feeling like you're moving your character through molasses. If I'm playing a competitive shooter, I'm dead before I even realize I've been shot.
Generating frames usually introduces latency, yes. However, Intel fully anticipated the skepticism. They didn't just release the frame generation algorithm on its own.
What else is in the update?
The source material notes they integrated proprietary anti-lag technology directly at the driver level.
How does anti-lag software actually fix a physics problem like latency?
Think of it like a VIP pass at a crowded grocery store line. The anti-lag software aggressively manages the queue of frames waiting to be displayed to your monitor.
Okay.
It ensures that the absolute most recent input from your keyboard or mouse is prioritized immediately, bypassing the wait time of the generated frames.
Okay, conceptually that makes sense.
Yeah.
But does it actually work in practice? Or is it just more marketing speak?
According to the early benchmarks from the Tech and Garage War Room, yes, it works incredibly well.
What are the numbers?
They are showing that input lag consistently remains under 50 milliseconds. And that's even on those weaker laptops we talked about.
Under 50 milliseconds.
Now, is it as perfectly snappy as a native 120 hertz esports monitor? No, of course not.
Pro players will still notice.
Yes, but for a single-player adventure game, or an RPG, it is entirely imperceptible to the naked eye.
Okay, so it feels snappy enough to play comfortably, but what about how it looks?
The visual fidelity.
Right, because I remember when AMD launched their version, FSR3, a while back, people immediately started complaining about visual noise.
Oh, yeah, the shimmering effect.
Exactly. You look at the user interface, like the health bar or the ammo counter on the screen, and it would ghost.
It would leave a trail behind it when you move the camera.
It looked like a bad drug trip. Is XSS3 just a blurry, shimmering mess?
That's the real visual battle here. Ooh. AMD's early FSR3 struggled specifically because it was purely a software guess. It didn't have enough data to reconstruct complex scenes perfectly.
And Intel's approach.
Intel took a completely different path. They built XSS3 on highly advanced AI-driven neural networks right from the start.
So the AI is just fundamentally smarter at guessing what the fake frame should look like.
Essentially, yes. Even on the hardware that doesn't have the fancy XMX cores, the algorithm itself is robust enough to reconstruct those pixels with minimal to zero ghosting.
That's impressive.
The early reviews are glowing. The source even cites Digital Foundry.
And they are the absolute gold standard for pixel peeping and technical analysis.
They are. And Digital Foundry states that at 1080p and 1440p resolutions, XSS3 is nearly indistinguishable from NVIDIA's DLSS3.
Indistinguishable. That is incredibly high praise.
It is.
Especially when you're comparing a completely free software update that runs on a laptop to a proprietary feature locked behind a $1,500 graphics card.
It really highlights just how far the machine learning algorithms have come in such a short time. Mm-hmm. It is quality code beating brute force silicon.
Now, I want to pivot for a second to a specific group of people who I think are going to be throwing an absolute parade for this news.
Who's that?
The handheld gamers.
Oh, the handheld market is going to explode over this.
I'm seeing these devices everywhere now. The MSI Claw, the ROG Ally, the Lenovo Legion Go. People are literally playing full PC games on the bus during their commute.
The handheld revolution is huge. But let's be totally honest here. Those portable devices have two massive glaring enemies.
Battery life and thermal throttling.
Exactly.
Oh, totally. I tried one of the early iterations on a flight. You try to play a modern AAA game and the battery dies in maybe 45 minutes.
If you're lucky.
And the fans. The fan sounds like a tiny jet engine taking off in your hands. It's so hot, your palms actually start sweating.
Nobody wants sweaty palms on the bus. Right. The fundamental problem is that you are trying to push that tiny, constrained mobile processor to 25 watts of power or more just to hit a stable 60 frames per second.
And that much power draw drains the small battery instantly.
It drains the battery and it generates a ton of heat in a very small plastic chassis. The device eventually panics from the heat and slows the chip down to protect itself.
Which causes the game to stutter. The thermal throttling.
Right. So how does XSS3 fix this physics problem?
Yeah, how does software fix heat?
It completely inverts the rendering equation. Instead of forcing that tiny hardware to sweat and strain to hit 60 FPS natively...
You tell the hardware to relax.
Exactly. You tell the chip, just give me a totally stable 30 frames per second. Don't work any harder than that.
Which is much, much easier for a mobile chip to do.
Right. Hitting 30 FPS might only require 15 watts of power instead of 25.
That's a huge drop in power consumption.
The chip stays cool, the cooling fans stay quiet, and then you let the AI algorithm generate the other 30 frames for free to get your eyes back to that 60 FPS smoothness.
So to the player, you get the visual smoothness of 60 frames a second, but the internal engine is only working hard enough for 30.
Precisely. The outcome is incredibly smooth gameplay. But because the silicon is working significantly less, the fans run silent, the temperatures drop drastically.
And the battery life.
The source claims battery life on these handhelds is increasing by 20% to 35% with this update.
That is an absolute game changer for a portable device.
Yeah.
I mean, an extra 30 minutes or an hour of playtime is the literal difference between finishing a level on your commute or just staring at a blank black screen.
It transforms the Intel-based handhelds, specifically devices like the MSI Claw, from being perceived as a weak option in the market into a lethal purchasing choice overnight.
If you own one of those right now, your device just got significantly better for $0.
It's a massive win for portability.
This all really circles back to the bigger picture you mentioned right at the start of our deep dive, the Silicon economy.
Yes.
Because this feels like a fundamental shift in philosophy. As consumers, we have been trained for decades to buy, buy, buy.
We have. And we are currently in an era of serious inflation. GPU prices skyrocketed first due to the crypto mining boom, and then they stayed high because of the AI gold rush.
Right. Everybody wants silicon right now.
The average person simply cannot afford to drop $800 or $1,000 on a new graphics card every 2 or 3 years. It is completely unsustainable.
It feels incredibly anti-consumer to expect that. The mentality of, oh, you want to play the new release, that'll be $70 for the game itself and $600 for the new part required to actually run it.
Exactly. And Intel, perhaps out of sheer necessity because of their market position, has realized something crucial.
What the?
The winning move right now isn't asking the consumer for more money. Project XSS3 symbolizes a shift towards software longevity.
Software longevity.
It's this radical idea that software updates should actually breathe new life into the hardware you already own, the hardware sitting on your desk right now.
Instead of planned obsolescence, it's planned rejuvenation.
In a way, yes. The tech war is no longer just about raw transistor counts on a board. It is about the quality and efficiency of the algorithms.
They're fighting with math now.
Intel is buying long-term user loyalty here. By saving you money today, by making your current laptop viable for another 2 or 3 years, they are banking heavily on you sticking with Team Blue when you finally do decide to upgrade your physical machine.
And they're simultaneously incentivizing game studios too, right?
Oh, massively.
So if I'm a game developer, I want my game to run on the largest number of devices possible so I can sell more copies.
100%. If optimizing for XSS means the tens of millions of people sitting at home with basic office laptops can suddenly buy and play my new game.
You're going to prioritize that over the tiny niche group who own the latest $2,000 NVIDIA rig.
Exactly. It shifts the entire center of gravity in the gaming industry away from the high-spending whales and back to the average Joe.
So let's wrap this up and distill it down. We've had a literal Silicon earthquake today.
We really have.
Intel's AI for all strategy has basically flipped the script on NVIDIA, revitalized the entire handheld PC market, and saved millions of people a whole bunch of money.
The main takeaway from all our sources is very clear. The future of gaming isn't necessarily those 600-watt monoliths that heat up your entire apartment.
It's code.
It's smart, efficient algorithms that can conjure 60 frames per second out of a low-power mobile chipset.
And for you listening, here is your actionable advice for the day. If you have a Core Ultra processor or an Arc graphics card, or honestly, even if you're just rocking a fairly recent Intel laptop,
cool check.
Go update your drivers immediately, right now. Don't wait. You effectively have a free generational hardware upgrade just waiting for you in the download queue.
Seriously, do not leave that free performance on the table.
But I do want to leave you with a final, somewhat provocative thought to mull over as we sign off.
Let's hear it.
NVIDIA is a giant. They are a multi-trillion-dollar company. They are absolutely not going to take this maneuver lying down.
They will respond.
But if software algorithms can now perfectly replicate the performance of expensive physical hardware, are we currently witnessing the end of the hardware upgrade cycle as we've always known it?
That is the truly scary thought for the entire tech industry. Because if I can just download a software patch to make my computer twice as fast, why on earth do I need to buy a new one?
Exactly. And what does that mean for the massive companies whose astronomical stock prices depend entirely on selling us new silicon every single year? That is the $1 billion question. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.